The reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. That's Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels."
Morning. I think spring's finally here. It didn't rain yesterday, did it? No, it didn't. I don't think it did. I'm just loading this up. I recently passed this over to my 10-year-old daughter because I've upgraded. So the message may be on Roblox. I don't know. We'll just see. Yeah, it's loaded up. That's good. Good start. The message this morning has been, I found it quite challenging preparing this message, and it's why can't I live as I wish if I don't hurt anyone? And we're going to look at kind of the consequences that our decisions, that ripple effect, what can happen if we make the wrong choice and things like that. And I actually found a photo. It came up this morning, so I've put it on for this morning just to show you. And I'm just wondering how this photo got taken. What kind of decisions were made for him to get there? Can you see the tiger or the lion? I don't know. It's like he's fallen asleep in the tree. But we're going to look at the consequences of our decisions and whether we can live as we wish if we don't hurt anyone. I remember once when I was 18, about 10 years ago, me and my friend decided to have a joint 18th birthday party. And we'd hired the Broughton Cricket Club, I think it is. Some of you may know where that is. We turned up early and we both had minis because minis were cool then. And we were in this car park, and this car park was full of sort of loose stone, yeah? And it was perfect driving conditions for doing what we used to call donuts. Just FYI, I wasn't a Christian then, I didn't know Jesus, okay? So we decided that we were going to do some donuts, which is essentially just driving around and doing wheel spins in this car park. The car park was completely empty. There was nobody in the building. We turned up early to help prep our 18th birthday. So we started doing it. And we're flying around and shingles going everywhere. And suddenly this guy legs it out of this club. And we like stop and we get out of the car. And he's like, "Get off this property." He's going absolutely mad at us. He's going crazy. And we're like trying to say, it's our 18th. And he just heard 18th. And all he said was, "You're not coming into this 18th birthday party." And we're like, "It's ours, sorry." And the consequences was we had to actually rake the entire car park for him to allow us to continue having our 18th birthday party there. Hence, we had a very sweaty photos on our 18th birthday party. But we didn't realise, we thought it was pretty harmless. We're not going to hurt anyone. It was an empty car park and there was nobody around. But the consequences rippled and we didn't think it through properly. And we're going to look as to why we can't live as we wish, as long as we're not hurting anyone. And on the face of it, like I said, it does seem like a pretty cool way to live, right? You're not hurting anyone, so be what you want, do what you want. And it's often used. It's a way of living in 2018 that is quite sort of, you know, people buy into this philosophy of living. Tax-free service on the car. This guy does it cash in hand. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm going to get my service done cheaper. I'm not hurting anybody. A couple of beers after work and then I'll go home. Not really hurting anyone. You know, I'll go home. It's not a problem. I like to spend my spare time watching TV because I work hard all week and I just want to Netflix up at the weekend and just sit like a couch potato on the couch. Why not? I'm not hurting anybody. So what? Sometimes I like to log on to adult websites and maybe look at things that I shouldn't be looking at. But you know what? I'm not hurting anybody. It's not a problem. It's a statement that gives us an excuse that allows us to somehow justify more or less anything we do. And like I said, it is a statement that is bought into in 2018. Google it. There's more people for it than against it. But there's three kind of problems that when I've looked into it, that sort of holes in this philosophy of living as you wish, as long as you're not hurting anybody. And the first one is this isn't rhetorical, I want some answers. How many decisions do you think a human being makes in a day? Throw some numbers at me. Anybody? 250? A bit higher? 30,000. Who said that? Have you just Googled that? 30,000. You're not far off. It's actually 35,000 decisions on average a day a human being will make. Now, a lot of them is, shall I have one sugar or two sugars and things like that? Okay? But 35,000 decisions a day. Children, just for your information, make 3,000 decisions a day. That's because we make them all for them. But if we're making 35,000 decisions a day, how can we possibly even contemplate how those decisions are going to affect other people? We can't evaluate every decision that we're going to make. Tax-free service on the car. You know, we tell a friend who knows that you follow Jesus, that you go to church, and it's a friend who was going to ask you about maybe going to church, a friend that was going to ask you about God and the lifestyle and the rest of it, but now it's a friend that has bought into what a lot of other people think, and that's that Christians are fake and just don't lead the life that they're supposed to be living. And now that guy's not going to, or that girl is not going to ask you about Jesus anymore. But hey, you're not hurting anybody. A couple of beers after work and then I'll go home. Next minute you find yourself in a cell because you've been done, because you're over the limit. And you're thinking, my whole family is going to break down because I'm going to lose my job. It's going to put stress on my family. Everything's blown up now. But hey, you're not hurting anybody. So what? I like to sit and watch my TV. I work hard all week. Sort of 2 miles down the road in your local church, a pastor and a member of that church are chatting and saying, what a shame we couldn't do the event tonight, an event that would have potentially brought people to God. There were just not enough volunteers. So what? I'm not hurting anybody. You log onto your PC and go to that website that you want to watch that you know you shouldn't be watching. 2,000 miles away, a young girl's being abducted by two masked men because the online pornography business is doing really well. because people are watching it. So what? I'm not hurting anybody. We cannot possibly work out if we are in fact hurting anyone by our decisions. That's the first hole in this philosophy of why can't I live as I want if I'm not hurting anyone. The second hole that I find in this philosophy is how can we actually define what is good and what is bad? Now, obviously, there are some things that we can define what is good and what is bad. If I, when we have coffee afterwards, if I was to go out there and swing a golf club around in a crowded room, I know that that's going to be bad. It might be the first time my golf club's contacted anything, but it would be bad. Okay, so there are some things that we know are bad. But there's a flip side to this. Physiotherapy hurts the person that is receiving it. The justice system, a criminal gets sent to prison. That hurts that person because he's being sent to prison. Telling the truth to somebody can hurt. The truth can hurt sometimes. So by living according to this philosophy of I can do what I want as long as I don't hurt anyone, should we not give physiotherapy or use the justice system or tell people the truth when they need to be told it, even though it's hurting them? We can't always determine what is good and what is bad. And to live by this philosophy can be confusing for us. To live by this philosophy will almost certainly end up hurting somebody, if not ourselves. Because this philosophy is a justification statement. It's justifying things that we can do in life. It allows us to do what we want. It puts us in a moral kind of grey area where we alone are judging what is right and what is wrong, what is hurting someone and what is not hurting someone. And the third hole in this philosophy that I can think of is that is definitely not biblical, okay? There is no piece of scripture known to man where Jesus was sat with his disciples and they asked him a question and he said, you know what, guys, do what you want as long as you're not hurting anyone. He never said that. This way of life, this philosophy in 2018 of I can do what I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone is definitely not biblical. In fact, as we've read this morning in Luke 9, just a bit of background, Jesus tells his disciples what he's got to go through, okay, at the start. He says, I must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of law, and I must be killed. So he's telling them exactly what he has to go through. Now imagine, for one moment, if Jesus did live by the rule of, I can do what I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. He could have done one. He could have just gone. He could have settled down, married, had a nice little carpentry business, had kids, you know? No rejection, no suffering, no torture, no nails, no cross, no death. And he wouldn't have been hurting anyone by doing that. Except he would. It would have been us, because we'd have had no hope. You know, I once read a book. That's it. I just wanted to tell you. I once read a book, and this book, the author was explaining how to untangle scripture. And he actually said that for him, there's parts of the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, where he kind of reads it, and it's like it's a play in front of him. And then suddenly, the kind of lights go out and the spotlight goes on Jesus, and suddenly Jesus turns and addresses the audience and makes these statements. And I kind of feel like that as well as we carry on reading this piece of scripture. And there's a piece like that for me in this piece of scripture because we hit a piece that changed. Jesus makes a statement that changed the way the disciples had to think, that changed the way everybody had to think 2,000 years ago and changes the way we're challenged and the way we have to think 2,000 years later. He makes this statement, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." What a statement. Jesus doesn't call us just to believe in him. The devil believes in him. He doesn't just call us to believe in him. He calls us quite plainly here to believe in him, to follow him. And this will mean denying ourselves some of the stuff that we want to do. And that's not easy sometimes. It's not easy denying ourselves some of the stuff that we want to do. And it means being challenged by God and accepting, challenge accepted, God. And that's not easy either sometimes. An example in Mark 10, we hear about this rich young man, okay? He must have worked hard and saved even harder. And he had lots of money in the bank, but there's nothing wrong with having money in the bank. There's nothing wrong with saving, right? Anyway, this guy approaches Jesus and he's like full of confidence because he's got this question for Jesus on what he has to do to inherit eternal life. So he says, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers, "You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't testify falsely, don't cheat on anyone, honor your mother and father." So like this guy's like, "Yes, I've done that. Since I was small, I've done that. Cashback, Jurassic Park, I've done it. I'm in." And then Jesus drops the book bomb. And he says, "But there's one thing that you haven't done." He says, "Go and sell all of your possessions. Everything you've saved up for, go and sell it and give it to the poor, because you'll get riches in heaven, and then come and follow me." Wow. Now, it's quite a sad ending to this little account of what's happened here, because the Bible actually tells us that the guy went away sad because he had much wealth. Oh. And we don't know if he did as he was instructed. We don't know if he gave his money away. What I do know is that this man could have walked away and justified not doing what Jesus had called him to do by buying in to the, "Well, I'm not hurting anyone by having money in the bank" philosophy. He could have justified not accepting a challenge from Jesus by living in that philosophy. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." Not "whoever wants to be my disciples can do what they want as long as they're not hurting anybody." There's another part of the Bible that has that, you know, that spotlight effect what I was talking about earlier, where Jesus just turns and looks at us. And it's from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and you may be familiar with it. It's the Great Commission. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said," lights go out, spotlight goes on, he faces us, "Therefore, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Challenge down for us as well as them. Wow. We're tasked as followers of Jesus to bring people to meet him. That is our task. That is our challenge. You know, to a faithful Christian, to someone who has Jesus Christ in their life, if God was a star, if they were to look up in the nighttime sky, God would be the most brightest, most magnificent, most obvious star that they could see. to someone who has Jesus in their life. But you know, to a lot of people, Jesus is actually just a small fading speck in the far off distance. It's our responsibility to be the telescope for these people so that they can see through us this massive, beautiful, bright, shining star and everything that it has to offer. It's down to us to do that. That's what we're tasked with. And we cannot possibly do that if we live by the philosophy of I can do what I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. We can't do it that way. We can't be the telescope to others if our own lives don't reflect Jesus. We can't be the telescope if we go through life justifying everything that we do, everything including some of the bad stuff that we do, by justifying it by thinking, I'm not hurting anyone. Because we don't know if we're hurting anyone. We have to be more than that. That's what our God asks of us. We have to be more than that. If we're to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves and the thought process of I can do what I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. Paul wrote a lot of letters in the New Testament, bit of background on him. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was he went through untold things for Jesus. And as Paul writes, in prison, from a dark, wet prison cell, a letter to encourage the Philippians, he writes this great statement that we can replace this morning. This great statement, six words that encompass how we, as followers of Jesus, should live. He writes, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. For Paul, his daily life is walking in fellowship with Jesus, doing as Jesus would want, not what he would want to do, as long as it's not hurting anybody. For Paul, his daily life is depending on Jesus for everything, and that includes the decisions that he's making in his life. For Paul, his daily life is about getting to know Jesus intimately and growing his heart, body, mind, and soul into Jesus. All his emotions, his words, his deeds must be aimed at pleasing Jesus. Every aspect of his life must be centered around Jesus. He will take up his cross. He will deny himself. He will follow Jesus. And nothing less than this for him will do. Read about him, you'll see. He does do that. The challenge this morning is simple. It's what do you do to justify in your lives by the philosophy of what do you justify in your lives by the philosophy of I can do what I want so long as I'm not hurting anyone? Is there something that you're doing that you think, well, it's harmless, I'm not hurting anyone? It may be the use of your time that you do as you please with because it's not hurting anyone, but deep down you know that God actually wants you, he's asking you to deny yourself some of that time and to do something, maybe in ministry, maybe in church, I don't know. The challenge may be a lifestyle choice. Can you justify by saying, well, it's not hurting anybody. But you know deep down that God doesn't want you to do that because you may not be hurting anybody, but you may just be hurting yourself, physically or spiritually. Or both. And you know, I can't list all the things that everybody in this room this morning needs to address. I can't list it all. We'd be here all morning. That's between you and God. What I can say is to follow Jesus means to follow his will and to deny ourselves. There is absolutely no room for us to self-justify our life decisions just because we think we're not hurting anyone. Why? Because we were bought at a price. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was tortured. He was nailed to a cross and died for us, so we wouldn't be lost anymore. So we could be kind of placed back under our Father's protective wings. So that we could gain the experience, the love that God offers us. The forgiveness that God offers us. So that we can introduce others to the one and only Creator, King of Kings. We introduce people. Don't live by this self-serving, self-justifying 2018 philosophy of I can do what I want so long as I'm not hurting anyone. If you take anything from this morning, have a think about that. Please don't live by that rule. Instead, stand up, be the telescope for others. Stand up and say loudly and say proudly, for me to live is Christ.